This episode is being recorded out of Shop Talk Podcast Studio in Oak Park, Michigan. For more information, visit shoptalkpodcaststudio.com.
Over West Side, everybody know everybody, right? I got nothing but love in my heart for West Side niggas. Nothing but love.
Live from Detroit. Pink suits with hats to match. Big cracker dolls and Cadillacs. You looking for the fattest sacks. This is where it's at. Windows tinted. Seats fully reclined. Keep the hands on the burner. Cause niggas know that it's money on the.
Yo, what up, though? It's your man, Jay Johnson, a.k.a. the tinfoil hat titan, a.k.a. the conspiracy realist, a.k.a. the technology snob, Steve Jobs Jr., don't text me with your green bubbles, a.k.a. I only debate my equals, everybody else I teach, also known as Juice, because all the hoes say, J-U Ice, Young Caesar, because you know you can't roam without me, Mr. If you don't like me, fight me, I got kicked out of Noah's Ark because they couldn't find another animal just like me, a.k.a. the West Side T'Challa, the new leader of Wakanda. Don't debate me, debate your mama. I am the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. What up?
What up, though? It's your man, Dame. 3_313. The West Side Landlord, the pride of PA. High Chief Dame, don't fuck around. The liquor store legend, the corner store conquistador, your mama's favorite Dame. And the David Ruffner, the Shop Talk Podcast, because you know who the fuck they came to see. Not you, Otis. It's no better than these four letters. Thank God for Dame. And if you speaking on Dame, you better say it nice. And if you don't put the boss in front, then bitch, you not saying it right. I'm a motherfucking... God damn it. I messed my own... I was like, is that my phone?
Yes, it's your phone.
Oh, I don't know what I did wrong. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's your phone. Finish your shit so we can. You are black.
It's the honorable Judge Boss Dame and this bitch. All rise. And I am a motherfucking black belt. Fuck. You just fucked up like a couple weeks ago. Then today it was my turn.
Welcome
fuck!
Back.
Fuck.
Welcome back. Shop Talk Podcast, episode 415.
On you, hoes.
We are back for another week of foolishness. How was your week, my brother?
Week was good, man. We had a good time. First of all, we forgot to shout it out, but we are now or were the official podcast of Tampon Palooza. I feel like we should hold that title at least one more year, and then I might relinquish it or have a fight to the death outside of Tampon Palooza, and whoever loses can take over. But we will win. So.
I don't relinquish anything.
You know how, like, you've been a champ so long, like, there's nobody in my weight class. You know, I just want to, I'm tired of paying the fees for the belt, and I'm just going, you know.
I'm the people's champ, you feel me? You just got to be the people's champ. No thing.
The world is flat, God is black, and there will no champ until I say so.
Man, I went down the rabbit hole on dude, man. He's a very entertaining person.
Yeah.
And I don't want no problems with that man.
He beats people up with his bare hands.
Yeah. he's one of the dangerous people on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's moving up to heavyweight so he can have three belts.
Like, do we have the other belt? Cause like I saw him go into a press conference and literally take the belt from the champ.
So he beat that guy, so he did earn that belt. Then he was already like the middleweight champ already.
Yeah.
And now he's moving up to heavyweight because he's got this thing that he think the heavyweights think they better because they bigger, you know, they'll be able to knock them out. And he was like, nah, it don't work like that.
What's so funny is when he stole the dude belt, like he just come in the press conference, take your shit, bang that bitch on the floor, and like, this is my shit now. Back. And dude didn't go get it back. Like, nigga, you lost, you puss, right? So they fight. Like,
and he beat him.
My man was getting with him, though. He dropped him, matter of fact.
He did drop him, but he lost the fight.
He dropped him, he got back up, and hit a nigga with the it's like Thor's hammer, and my man just went to sleep. He gave him his respect, like, yo, he was tougher than I thought he was. You know what I'm saying? I talked a lot of shit. He had a chin, he hit hard, everything, but night-night, nigga.
Yeah.
Like, night-night.
But I had an amazing time hosting doing a pod at Tampon Palooza. We didn't host, but doing a pod in the back, doing some interviews, getting some content. Met a lot of dope people.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody that came back there to speak to us. Hopefully we should have some of the content up maybe within the next week or so. Is that still my phone? Fuck, it is. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what app I was in for my phone to even be still speaking, but
it's playing in the background. You know,
you can just
no. This, but we also getting background, so maybe it's that. It's probably
no. It was that.
Oh, okay.
You know, I gotta hit you with the tag because sometimes dumb niggas be having smartphones. That's usually what I, you know.
I'm not a technological marvel, my nigga. Like. I talk about that shit all the time. The batteries are going out my remote, and the thought of having to reprogram this bitch is like...
You don't have to reprogram remotes when that battery die.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
because I'm ready to bring that bitch back to Comcast if that's like, the case.
Just put new batteries in the remote control, my nigga. Like, oh. This is crazy. you know, speaking of... Tampon Palooza and folks that we met. We actually have a guest this week that we met at Tampon Palooza.
Yeah.
And I'm going to allow her to introduce herself.
What up, though, everybody? Jeez, Louise, I got a frog in my throat, you know? Well, ribbit, everybody. I am Pete the Poet, Pete the Peddler. I do a lot of things in the city. Hello.
Hey, hello. Good to have you. So when we met, you. On what was that
Saturday,
P, you mentioned that you were also a peddler of pastries.
Yes, I make the best vegan pastries in the city, and I stand on it. I do.
Okay, so you told us that you would bring whatever we wanted, mm-hmm. as long as we gave you a review on air.
Yeah.
So please tell us what you bought to us today.
So I have a Rocky Road cookie. So it's got chocolate chunks. It's a double chocolate chip cookie, and it's also got marshmallows in it. And it's vegan.
My God. Does it have weed in it?
No, but I can do that if you prefer.
I was just wondering if you were trying to add a little razzle-dazzle to the evening.
No, see, I got these special brownies, and they got a rocket in them that blast off in 40 minutes. It's very consistent.
That's kind of crazy.
40 minutes?
40 minutes on the nose. And you'll know because they'll come and get you.
No, that's still your phone, my nigga.
I don't know what's going on there.
Something in the background, but let me see, dog. Because
I'm just gonna reset.
I think, yo, this is a live demonstration of the technical prowess of Dame. like I love fucking cookies. Like
this cookie is good as fuck.
Are you? Oh, really? Not. Here?
I did have a bite.
God damn, we didn't even get to do it like a giant reveal, but all right.
Well, I mean, we can't for you. Drum roll.
You know what I'm saying?
So my reveal not good enough?
You didn't reveal. Yeah, you put the money in the camera.
I was fondling it all while we were talking. Yes, I did.
Oh, my gosh. The whiff.
You got to smell the cookies.
You got to get the waft.
Yeah.
Like you a connoisseur of fine things.
Yeah. Oh, look at I got wanted to see if it was gonna be some chocolate. I kind of did
a little
spread thing.
I do see some marshmallow chunks in here.
Yeah. Mm, I like marshmallow that. Chunks.
This is good.
I like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So you talk the talk and walk the walk.
Oh, absolutely. Everything I do is homemade.
I appreciate that because you came in there with somewhat energy. Hold on.
It's the cookie.
Got your mouth full.
That's why y'all got
no diddy. No diddy.
No diddy.
Oh my gosh.
You came in with so much energy. So I went down your Instagram and I saw you doing some you in action, you know what I'm saying, doing your poetry thing. I'm like, oh, okay. And the cookies are, well, look at that chocolate.
The purse that you had that night at Tampon Palooza, when I watched your Instagram as well, I saw you purchase it. You went thrifting.
I was so happy. Oh my gosh, I was so happy. It was the cutest thing in the world to me. I'm proud. I stand by it. I love going thrifting.
Okay. This cookie's really fucking good.
Thank you.
I'm trying not to like smack all in the mic, but goddamn, this shit.
I know, we not.
No diddy!
We're not really supposed to be eating and shit while we talking on the mic, but yo, it is.
How often does somebody bring us baked goods?
And they actually be delicious.
Yeah.
Man, last time somebody brought us baked goods.
The Pikeys?
I couldn't. That was the first time.
Okay.
Because that was in first studio. But I really couldn't participate because I don't eat cheesecake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Cheesecake King.
For sure.
He made my birthday cake one year.
I gave somebody the Cheesecake King information yesterday because I know he makes the best cheesecake. So I took a bite and it was cool, but I don't eat cheesecake. But I know he the best because
fucking love cheesecake.
Look at that shit.
That's what it was. I think it was cheesecake you asked for.
Maybe. I love cheesecake.
Yeah, I think he did. And he was like, for cake, you got to holler at my girl, whomever the young lady.
And she's
was.
A poet also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
That's Bella Sweets or Bella the Poetic Baker.
Okay. I swear you said her name was Bree because that's definitely how I addressed her. And she like.
She ain't correct you. She like, bless her heart.
No, she did correct me because like I was standing by the cupcakes. I was like, oh, you're Bree. Wrong as fuck. And then she like pointed to like a little sticker on the cupcake box. She's like, no, this is my name right here. Oh.
Yeah, she was like, that's why we got the stickers.
Yeah. Smart. Good marketing.
Yeah. Shout out to Tampon Palooza, though. Man, it was some really good shit out there.
Yes, that was dope.
Dog, I was Trill World. Like, she gonna be my music pick of the week. Her and K-Bay. On my music picks of the week. But I went back and listened to that song that she sang.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, her performance of that shit was incredible.
Because, like, we was in the back. I got there about 8:30, 8:45. So I missed a couple of the first performances or whatever. And we in the back doing interviews. So I didn't get a chance to see a lot of people perform. And when we was kicking it with her, she was just, like, real cool. And I asked her what kind of... Do you rap? Do you sing? She like, I sing. I was like, I want to come out there and I'm going to check it out. And everybody say they good, right?
And she said it was soul music.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, let me check this shit out. And
she came back to get us. She's like, I'm up next. And I was like, all right.
I feel like, okay, I think I believe her. But like, yo, I was impressed.
The name of that song is called Mocha Sin. Mm-hmm. Shit is good. That shit is fucking good.
Yeah. And everybody, I mean, last year, everybody did a great job. You know what I'm saying? So
B. Marie pulled out that pull up. That's your shit.
Yeah, that is really my shit. Like, I went down the rabbit hole last year for that shit. Like, yo, this is crazy.
And then K-Bay, she did her song, Apply Pressure. I thought they kept saying her name was Payday. I was like, that's a different name for, like, a woman that raps. But, no, it was K-Bay. And that Apply Pressure song, that shit hard. And that sample is dope.
Yeah, so.
She's spitting from the heart. Like, it was so much talent. At Tampon Palooza, the ladies like showed out.
So it feels like I actually have to go to the Sound Off Sundays, like, because
yeah, not, like,
I'm not gonna lie, they just told me I can get a feature. Okay. I have to come through.
All right,
we're there. I'm down. I want to go to Sound Off Sunday, and I've been working on some rap shit. When I'm ready to like perform it, that's where I'm gonna take it to first.
Okay,
that'd
I'm definitely gonna take it to Sound Off Sunday. Yeah. First.
I mean, I see it, and it's like one of those things where it's like. It's all, and your brain is like, yo, it's always gonna be there, and you take it for granted. Like, why
but
the
then
fuck
one
you,
day it won't.
Yeah, like, why the fuck you ain't been up here and shit? Like, all your friends and shit, and people you know, creators be there. Like, why you ain't went over there and shit? So, I'm pulling up the Sound Off Sundays because got to.
It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
And Ken has been a gracious host.
For sure.
And extended the olive branch to us. I want to continue to be able to support him and the things that he's doing. And man, just based on the talent that was there at Tampon Palooza. The ladies turned it out. BZ Brown turned it upside down. Last year, they had our homies there, Chaz, P-Dot. Yeah, a lot of good people. So, I mean, they doing their thing. So, yeah, we want to continue to support Ken. It's an amazing event. If you didn't get a chance to donate, you can visit the Tampon Palooza page. I'm sure there's information on there how you can donate so we can get some more feminine products to these women's shelters. And, like, just continue to support a good cause.
Yeah.
We saw Jackie out there. We did our first fundraiser with her, Give Back to the D.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can do something.
We fine. We ended up in a newspaper and shit.
I still got that picture.
Yeah, there was no expectations.
No, you know we were just going there to help. We were just going there to help and ended up in the paper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. We need to find a couple philanthropic efforts to get into this year.
Well... I actually have an effort that will require some philanthropy.
What you got going on?
So, did you guys hear about MatFest last year? The music, art, and... Oh! Well, So first of all, I am a Jewel of Detroit that is a part of this collective from Woodward. We host Poetry in the Park. It's an up-and-coming poetry open mic thing, yeah. Right? So last year, we collaborated with Crowd Freak, and we hosted the Music, Art, and Poetry Festival. We had it at Avalon Village. Amazing turnout. Over 1,000 people came out. We had a whole lot of like interactive things. So much fun, right? So we are bringing it back. And we do have open spaces for sponsors, volunteers, all types of things. Any type of information, if you guys want to find a way to get involved, you can either let me know or I can connect you to my fearless leader, Karan.
Yes. When is it?
MapFest, they have not solidified a date, but it will be sometime in July.
Okay. Well, as that time approaches, we definitely open an invitation to come on the pod and they can talk about it. We can help promote the whole nine yards.
Lovely.
Whatever we can
do. Yeah. We'd love to come out and support.
A portion of this conversation we had last Saturday, but like, I love poetry, spoken word, the whole nine yards. And it all started from Love Jones.
Same.
When I was younger, I watched that movie and I was like, yo, this is how I'm gonna be when I'm 30. Right. Cause I was, well, that shit was like 2000. When that Love Jones come out?
Don't know. I've never seen it.
97.
Never seen it.
This is tragedy.
You know, that's my jam.
I just
1997. So in 97, I was 15, ninth grade. 16. Ninth, yeah.
I was one.
I'm a little older than you. But you know, I watched that. I'm like, yo, this is like I'm thinking. These are young black. Well, they don't look young when you young. Older people look older.
Yeah.
But in real life, they was like in their 20s or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Possibly. No, they couldn't even been 30 because that'll make them niggas like.
No, they was like some 20 something.
Like probably about late 20s.
Yeah. But like in my brain, I'm like, oh, this is what like adulthood looks like, right? And then like on my 30th birthday, I'm in a cigar lounge. I start smoking cigars. We start fucking with the poetry spot. Like my life ended up like going that route. So we was in a key club every Wednesdays. And that shit was just like super dope, man. Like the spoken word. This was like after deaf poetry. You know what I'm saying? Like, so this was, the shit was just dope. And I kind of fell out of that circle. And yourself and One Single Rose was basically, I was asking like, yo, where are the spots? Because I don't know where all the spots are.
I know them all. All
right. So can you tell me, and for the rest of the folks, like, where are the spots?
So on Wednesdays, there are two spots. There's Lyrics and Libations. Lyrics and Libations is off of Grand River and Woodward. I'm not going to get the address proper, but there's also Poetry in the Park. That's 12527 Woodward. They both start from 8 to 12, but Lyrics ends at 11. And then on Thursdays, there is 90s Knowledge Cafe. They are open from, I believe, 8 to whenever they put y'all out, honestly. And then every second Monday, I host Sharp Pens, which is kind of like American Idol for poets. We pick a first, second, and third place winner. You get an opportunity to get critiqued on two separate poems. Like, it's a whole thing. It's cool.
It's a double, triple entendre, too.
Hey. There's LPU, and I believe that's the last Sunday of each month, and that is at the 27th Letter Bookstore. There is also Sound Off Sundays, of course. And then there is...
You said LPU? What does that stand for?
Love, Peace, Unity. And then there is the final one that I can think. Oh, no, there's a few more. Art in the Fly Space is on Tuesdays. That is hosted by Dismantle and Azizi. And then the last one is the one that I was just thinking about because it's very important. What day does it happen on?
You said one that happened on Monday. You got a Tuesday one. We got a Wednesday one and a Thursday one and a Saturday.
Like Sunrise Saturday is either the second or the second to last Sunday of each Saturday. So those are a few.
Where is that at?
Sunrise Saturday is at Andy's Arts off of Finkel. That's all I know. It's Andy something off of Finkel.
Yeah. Shit. Apparently it's something every fucking night.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
There's always something. Or you can always check Cesar Toriano's page on Facebook because he posts everything.
Okay. Caesar Toriano. Mm-hmm. And it's like Caesar, like Little Caesar. Caesar. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Okay.
That's dope because I didn't know. Now I know. You host a few of these, right?
Yes, I host 3.5 shows a month.
How do you pull off a half of show?
The half show is because I host a Saturday show, but it's the last Saturday of each month, but I also rotate with 4 other people, so it's a half.
Oh, okay.
That's extremely dope. Like, I think spoken word, poetry, what do people go do it? Like, I know it's a difference, but is there a difference, spoken word and poetry? Is it?
Yes and no. I feel like poetry is like the expression on paper.
Yeah.
And then spoken word is like taking your diary and making it, you know, like something that other people can take in.
I just thought of a question. Is there a such thing? This is crazy because it should not be. But what if it is?
Hey.
Is there ghostwriting in poetry?
Yes.
Because, like, I can write something really dope, but what if you don't have the performing type?
I have a poem right now that somebody wrote for me that they wrote and was just like, I'm never going to perform this. I want you to have it.
Mm.
And you performed it?
Mm-mm. I would wait for them to be in the audience because I wouldn't want to. It's not mine.
Okay.
Okay. Because, like, sometimes, you know, we talk about music all the time and, like, the artistry and the respect that I have for, like, music and artists, and when you find out like somebody wrote the record for somebody, it's like they'll do it like, well, R&B singers don't write all the songs. I'm like, well, the skill in singing is singing, not necessarily writing. But some people can perform better, and I was thinking like that's like a poet like not writing the poetry. But when I look at some of the poetry slams and stuff that I've been to, some of these people are very, very expressive. And if that's not your personality, like I wrote something and I wanted to go out to the world, but like I'm never going to be able to be the one to do it. And it's like, what if you just want to help bring somebody vision? That's not my cup of tea, but I didn't know if it like happened.
So I feel you in the same sense. Like I don't think it's necessarily a thing of like, oh yeah, I'm going to spit this for you. Because no, not if you want me to, and that's something that we go over, yeah. But it's also like a sense of vulnerability that comes into it because like it's your feelings, your mood of expression. So you automatically know like, oh, this line I need to emote in this way, but this line I need to bring it down low. Like it's kind of hard to tune into somebody else's words. So I understand. Because like even if I was to bring like a SZA line or something into my poem, if I try to sing it, I'm going to feel weird about it because I'm not going to sing it like her. So now I have to find a way to take this piece and like morph it into my own.
Yeah.
So like, I feel you.
And like, for me, rap was always told to me that it was rhythm and poetry. Like, so how you saying somebody else intricate lines and like, fam, this is not the life that you live. This is somebody else's life. But, you know, that's a whole nother hip hop elitist sometimes, because like the music has changed now and
it's different rules. It's different rules. Kids don't care about, they don't care about that shit. How many numbers you do last week? How many streams you got?
But that's the problem.
Old nigga.
But one, ain't nobody doing no streams. And two, do you let the times change you or do you change with the times? Like, I think I said the same thing, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like, you're not supposed to, like,
you're not. You can interject to, whenever you like.
I know. I just felt, I'm sorry. I've been working with kids a little too long.
Okay.
I raise my hand sometimes. It's a problem. So I was thinking, and it reminded me of a conversation from way back when. And the biggest difference is, like, prior to me, like Boombox Kids had to listen. Because, like, that was when they was playing the mix, right? But now kids have so much access to music, it's more so about, like, production. Like, we all ADHD, baby, so we don't even necessarily have the attention span to listen to a song longer than 3 minutes, let alone, like, sit back and listen to what's being said. Like, the lyricism is dying out. That's why Sexy Red is Sexy Red.
I mean,
I like Get It Sexy.
You like what?
It be
I
catchy.
I like that song, Get It Sexy.
It be catchy, but, like... Da, da, da.
Da-da. I'm not familiar.
Bow, bow, bow. I like all that shit.
I think niggas be capping. I'm not saying
I'm not saying like that song. I'm not like, saying I like everything she does. But we've had this conversation before. There's something about the presentation of Sexy Red I can appreciate.
Yeah, because it does. It speaks to the era of blackness that we don't want to shed light on, right? Like, people who behave a certain, they exist. Like, up until a certain degree, until we get a higher education or we do something different, that's what the fuck we are. So, like, it's not.
We've talked about this, but you've never heard this point of view, so we're going to go through it again. So, like, I hear all that, and I think it's cat for the most part. Because the Sexy Red character, you got somebody in your family, that's your little cousin is that, and you don't fuck with your little cousin. Like, you don't bring your little cousin to the events because that's how she is. But like, when Sexy Red get on television, it's like, ooh, I like her because she authentic. Your little cousin act like that, and you don't fuck with her.
I don't.
Like,
have,
you don't go to the, valid. She don't come to the event.
Ooh, that's valid. That's like, uncomfortable.
Like,
I can't say that I have. It's a like a novelty like that. But I've definitely. So I will say that, like, somebody comes to mind that I dated. That fits that mold.
Before you said that, because like,
you know who I'm talking about.
Before you said that, right, off mic, because I was like, nigga, you don't even. And then the example you gave, though, I don't think that's the same example, because that motherfucker is really, really smart.
She is.
And she does that, whatever, but like, I don't think it's a one-to-one comparison.
No, it's not. It's definitely not linear.
Yeah.
But there are certain things about it.
I can see.
Look, man,
that.
I like ass shaking. I like tattoos on women. Stick your tongue out. Talk nasty, girl. I like that shit. Spit in my mouth. And I like the fact that Sexy Red wear a chain that says Big Sexy and she keep a wad of cash. Like, the aesthetic of that shit, I like. And I do like a song or
two.
Do
you think it's black excellence?
No. It's
only reason I say
it's
that
freak Nick-ish. Freak Nick-ish.
The only reason I say that is because that's the first artist that Larry Jackson signed, and he said, "I'm putting. They got $2 billion. We gonna put to amplify black voices and black excellence." And that's the first.
It's,
I'm talking about this college educated. My parents been married for 50 years. Worked through Apple. I don't listen to this music. I don't let my children listen to this music. But I put $2 billion behind this
because it's relatability and demographics.
We've talked about it. It's not black excellence, but nigga, you can't deny it. Like, there's something about her that
it's
connects.
Something about a fucking
hold on, wait. I'm just about. Yeah. We gonna settle it right now. How many baby mamas y'all know?
I've made three.
How many baby mamas y'all know with supportive baby daddies? Her number one song, "Go How."
Fuck my baby daddy.
Thank you. That's it. That's all we need.
But then she set up in every interview to get this fake phone call from her baby daddy in jail. In every single interview, the exact
same
way.
It's my baby daddy.
Like, it's not even real. Like, I get it when you in the interview, oh, shit, my baby daddy called him from jail. If that was real, like, the first time. But when I set that shit up in every interview, this not like real life. This is a game. It's like a mock of real life.
And Jemima wasn't real.
Just good. not good, but like, that's fucked up that I said that.
You know what?
Aunt Jemima, Aunt Jemima is real, and it's a real person, right? But like, don't make this person a character themselves.
It's satire. You know what I'm saying? To me, we both watched Bamboozle, one of my favorite Spike Lee movies, and this feels a lot like the Alabama Porch Monkeys. We know it's wrong. Like,
but we an adult.
Yeah.
And some people don't know this is just normal.
That do be the issue though. Cause I was just minding my business. I swear I was. And all the kids outside playing football, "You motherfucking bitch and goddamn hoe." Like, everything. I remember being a kid and like being afraid to cuss, like having to do one of these. And like, they don't even do that no more. They see you and just.
I remember the first kid I heard cuss, my cousin G. I'm like, oh shit, we can cuss. Like, I didn't know that we could, like, I can do it too. And I've been cussing ever since. But when I saw him cuss, I'm like, oh shit, we can cuss.
I mean, I was listening, like, for me, I was listening to NWA. Like, I thought Ice Cube was like going to kick in the front door one day. Like, cussing wasn't a thing. And it's just a repeat of the same shit. Like, look, do I want my daughters listening to Sexy Red? Not really. Especially not my youngest one, but like.
You don't mind that all the other people's daughters listen to it, though?
They ain't mind.
No, but then that's when your daughter go to her friend's house and her mama don't care about listening to Sexy Red, she hear it by proxy.
Yeah, I mean, it does happen. It does. Like, nigga, when WAP came out,
man,
that was my shit. And there are some hoes in this house. Like, that beat, the song, all of that. When they performed that shit at the Grammys and they was
that shit kind of embarrassing.
Dry humping and shit. Nah, baby. I like that shit. There's some hoes in this house.
For sure. There's some hoes in this house. The whole nine. The song slap. We like the song. It's a little embarrassing when that shit is on the Grammys, though.
You know what's so crazy? The paradigm is about to shift right back, which is so sick. So, like, you know how when things happen in extremes, they another extreme usually happens to, like, balance it out?
Yeah.
So, like, prior to this, it was what? Gospel music, R&B music, conservative music. Now you can say pussy on the radio. In a minute, it's going to be, like, a high concentration of people complaining again, and all the censorship is about to come swooping back.
Yeah.
Can you say pussy on the radio?
It could probably be, not. I was probably being dramatic.
It depends on how you say it. Like, for an example, you can say bitch on TV, but you can't say you a bitch. You can say you acting like a, like, it matters how you say it on television.
You eat the booty like groceries. You definitely can say that on the radio. You definitely can say that.
Yeah. It'd just be interesting, though. Like, it's certain shit that you're not comfortable watching in front of certain people. That shit, because, like, you know how stereotypes and shit work. It's some shit that you wouldn't play in front of your grandma or your mama, right? But when that shit is on CBS broadcast, like, one of my homeboys, he live in Dallas now, but he moved to, like, Wyoming or some shit, right? And I Googled, because I was just interested, like, yo, how many...
He's the only black person in Wyoming.
My nigga, it was, like, 92% white. And the rest of the percent was everybody else, right? So I used to
put Indians in there.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a whole bunch
of
people.
Negative 2% nigga radius.
Now, Vermont, where, what's the nigga Bernie Sanders from? It's like 94 to 95% white.
Same thing. Seattle is 97%. Black and brown people get mushed together and they less than 2%.
So it's like, it's a lot of people. I don't know no black people. Not because I'm racist. Not because, like, there ain't enough black motherfuckers in the rest of the state for me to run into them, right? So the only time I understand and see black people is on television. And to be perfectly honest, I don't know no Chinese people. Only thing I know about Chinese people is what I saw on television. I don't know no Italians.
I know one Chinese person. And I know one Italian person.
So you really don't know nobody. You got that one experience.
Yeah, like, my first impression was bad.
Like, I know a nigga from the Ukraine, but I don't know no Russians. Every time I see Russians portrayed on television, they drink vodka and they a part of the gang. They either sex trafficking or they in the mafia. Like, everything I know about these other cultures comes from television. Because I don't know where the Chinese people hang out in Metro Detroit. I don't see him.
I met a Russian once. He was nice.
Right. So a lot of the things that we think about other people and races and the opinions, it comes from television.
Yeah.
So when the only thing I see on you while I'm watching the Grammys is wet ass pussy, I'm like, God damn.
Wide open.
I remember I got a friend of mine who's Arabic, and I just assumed the nigga was Muslim. All the years I've known him, like, I was asking him something about going to the mosque, and he was like, no, he wasn't observing Ramadan. Like, he was eating. And I was like, y'all don't, like, usually Muslims are really firm on Ramadan. He's like, nigga, I'm not Muslim. He's like, I'm a Christian. I go to church.
Yeah.
So I was like, what?
I said all that to say, I didn't used to, early growing up in the 90s and shit like that, when people was, you know, really cared about how shit was portrayed on TV. I don't get it. I'm like, nigga, it's TV. It's not real. But, like, when you don't have any kind of interaction with the other race, I understand why people think we a certain way. Because, like, what else am I seeing? I don't know nobody.
Remember the first time, like, there was a same-sex kiss on television? It was on Roseanne.
Yeah,
she kissed another. Yeah, she kissed like it was a whole event that it was going to be on.
The auntie had a girlfriend.
Roseanne kissed the other woman, I think.
Yeah. Though. So, which is crazy, because we was talking about at work earlier this week, two different things. One was the Flintstones, the cartoon, was the first time that a man and a woman slept in the same bed on television. Never happened before. All in the Family, Archie Bunker and his wife, they slept in the same bedroom, but there were two beds.
Separate beds.
But when they were in the, they had two separate beds, like on television, nobody ever seen it. And it was like a controversy. I wasn't outside when it was doing live, but like it was a controversy because y'all showed two, a man and a woman on television in separate beds, but in the same room. It was like, oh my God, look at this. Now, shit.
Yeah, and that was normal. Now the kids just run to jump in the bed. Mom, Dad.
I mean, it'd be all
two women in the same, like, you know.
They'd be fucking on TV, basically, on regular TV.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so times changed. Went from like, oh my God, they just got two beds sitting next to each other. Like, I can't believe they're showing this on television.
I remember being young and watching, what was it, Lucy? Yeah. Like, her and Desi slept in different beds.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
They push them together sometimes, like, to insinuate they were getting close, but, yeah, like...
I flipped that. It was actually I Love Lucy. Okay. They had the two beds.
Yeah.
It was... And what, we was talking about something else, what had happened on All in the Family, too. But, no, that is it. They had...
Okay.
And that was like, oh, my God. I Love Lucy was the shit, though.
But I'm... But to me, that type of shit, it just don't make no sense. Like, why wouldn't two married people sleep in the same bed? Like,
I guess what it is that, like, well, now you got to have a conversation with somebody who saw that and be like, oh, what does that mean? Like, there are parents be like, yo, I don't want you to teach my kids about trans anything. I don't want you to teach them about whatever because I don't want to have that conversation with them yet. But now.
Nigga, I remember there used to be a permission slip that came home when we did health and we would talk about, like, the STD shit, like somebody had to sign off on that.
You got a permission slip?
Somebody had back. I'm old, so like back in my day, somebody had to sign off. And before you watch the little slideshow where they show you what happened if you be fucking raw.
This is what gonorrhea look like. Not the cookie, goddamn it! But
doesn't look like anything actually.
I wouldn't know.
You ain't live fucking until you caught, you know, a little.
It's not true.
Sprinkle, sprinkle. What JUS do?
Oh, no, sprinkle, not sprinkle, sprinkle. Sprinkle. Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, they didn't do any of that for us. First of all, didn't call my mama, didn't ask for nothing. And then, secondly, they brought in a specialist who didn't teach anything. Like we literally just, like.
My sex ed.
Did you go to DPS?
No, I went to Clintondale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where they sent you when you got kicked out of DPS.
Oh.
So Peter Pollard was also putting poundings on bitches.
Oh, no, I've been a pacifist. I just recently learned how to fight.
Oh, so why'd you
learn how to fight?
We just gonna let that part of the past be, but I learned, okay?
Let me rephrase that. So, like, you went to, like, classes to learn how to fight, or?
No.
One day she woke up and just had enough.
No.
Sick of this bitch.
My ex was a MMA fighter, so.
Okay.
He taught me everything he knew.
That's what I was trying. So, have you actually got into a fight?
No.
Like, a person who wants, so you don't really know if you can fight. I
don't
want to bring no doubt into your
head. No, it ain't no doubt. Okay. I know that my body gonna do what it need to do. So,
okay.
Yeah, I learned jiu-jitsu, a little bit of Muay Thai. I learned wrestling and kempo.
Okay.
So you probably got some squabbles.
Oh, yeah, it's all mixed in. I'm pretty
And we all got a plan so we get punched in the face. How about we go to
elbows and
how about this? You go to a poetry event and you start some shit just to see like,
don't you?
Oh, you here to sharpen your pen, bitch? I'm here to sharpen your face.
That was kind of poetic. I'm afraid I might have to try it now. Don't incite me.
You gotta tell them one thing, two things, three things.
The world is flat. God is black. And there will no champ unless I say so.
If you said that on the mic, they'd be like, what the fuck is going on? And then, you know.
Poetry slam turning into something different.
Poetry slam turning into SummerSlam. Oh, shit.
That would be a good. You know, I never got into spoken word. That was like.
You hated it.
I did.
Why though? The snaps?
I didn't out you, you know what I'm saying, while we was at the event, because there was too many poets in the room.
So how was that? Was you like, all these fucking words?
So I never got into the whole, first of all, I never saw Love Jones. Like, I thought it was whack that, like, these grown-ass people can be outdo. Like when I was 16, 17, my idea of being 30 was not going to poetry slots. Like I figured I'd be like, you know, out traveling the world, rapping, having a bunch of women around. Like that's what I saw my life be.
What's the difference between rap and poetry?
Like it's over a beat. It's
so is smack. Is battle rap over a beat?
No, but
that shit is spoken word. Like oh,
you talking junk? And I won a rap battle competition with poetry. So do that.
Okay,
you can rap.
I can.
What you spitting the rap? What made you win the? I want to hear it.
Oh, you want to hear the poem?
You said you won a rap battle in a poetry thing.
I won a rap battle with poetry.
Oh, you won a rap battle with poetry?
Yeah, my poem won.
Okay,
I do want to hear it. But I want to put you on the spot. Like, you may not do poetry for free. You know what I'm saying? But, like...
I mean, I'm kind of getting exposure right now. So, if you're putting me to work,
okay, I mean, I would love to hear it.
I don't want to yell into the mic, so I'm going to back up some.
Oh, is this aggressive?
It is.
Okay.
Take me a little sip of water.
Eternal water.
Oh, of course. You know, got to keep it going on and on.
All right. I'm about to be blessed with some.
Yeah, so this is my good girl poem. I wrote it because I had a disagreement with a friend about 2 years ago.
Are y'all still friends?
Absolutely not, but I wish her the best.
Okay.
Good girls finish last because true work is never finished. Too many other women satisfied with what they done did just enough. See, average girls and bad girls mirror the effortless while some be worried about when other women do too much. Not nearly enough muchness to go around, sis. It's no wonder why your crown is so crooked. Too busy looking down on those who probably looked up to you. See, mad women just bored bitches with nothing better to do. Cognitive dissonance, distancing gaps of what was supposed to be built bridges. Got pillars crumbled to ashes, soot beneath fingertips, one extended with four pointing back at you. Dragging other names through the mud, a cleansing you have yet to face. See, maybe it's Maybelline, or maybe it's the hate you love to perpetuate. But why not love sisterhood, sis? I wish you would break free from the stronghold that's got this whole generation in a chokehold. Imagine if all those high praises untold took a toll on your soul. See, jubilant women manifest a more youthful vision while mad bitches be mad at the fact they look so different. Experimental stitches. Imagine if 626 gave a fuck about them other 62 digits. But that's a relative. Fusa, formphasia, faulty yet in full effect. And did you know it only takes 11 muscles in the face to frown? Content with stopping there when it only would have taken you one more to smile. Disalignment at its finest as I wait a minute. Content with... Yeah. Disalignment at its finest as I watch your universe judging other planets from its point of view. And I guess it's all a matter of P for perspective, but your letters be shaped real funny. Definitive actions left unquestioned and, sis, you got it. But word to the wise, not third eye blind. Don't find yourself fired up when someone brings the flame to you, see. Barking ain't something bitches gotta be trained to do, so be satisfied with what you done did and what you done said. And fuck making amends, cause all that soft friendship shit is dead. And peace. And tonight, the P is for pressed. And that's my good girl poem.
That's dope. I like that.
Thank you.
I can see you delivering that in a way that's like battle rap worthy.
So did you? So the person that was the inspiration, were they there? You said that to them?
No, not that day. I actually kind of like stumble when it comes to like having like directed type pieces because I'm like, oh, I don't want to offend anybody.
Pacifist.
Yeah, man. But at the time I was like, actually, no, all of this in me is not mine. So you have that. And the day that I got to perform it, I didn't know if she would or would not be there. Like my motivation at that point wasn't like, I need her here so she can hear it. But it was like, I just need to get my shit off. And then I was like, oh, you just so happen to be here. Oh, I'm about to go to work. Mm. Yeah, certain poems clear the room real fast.
It's like, I've never heard of a diss poem.
Oh, I actually did intentionally write a diss poem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
it's fun.
A lot of poems be
A
lot of poems be diss poem because it's not that I'm trying to disrespect you, but like I got all these feelings and emotions, and that were caused in part by you, and I gotta get this shit out.
First
and
of all, fuck the click.
First off, fuck your bitch and the click you claim. West side.
East side. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
I forgot. Like, you know, you was like firing on all cylinders. I forgot that you had one negative.
I don't. No, see, what you need to understand is I'm redirecting the narrative, okay? I can't speak for nobody else from the east side, but I'm definitely from there, and I'm bringing love back to the city.
I don't know how you make dog shit into Salisbury steak, but God bless you if you're able to do it.
I mean, if you give me a long enough time in the kitchen and some seasonings, you'll be surprised.
Touche. Touche. Okay. Touche. I need to
just some of the poetry spots.
Because I'm creative. Right.
I feel
in a bunch of different things. And sometimes you just have to be around people.
Creativity.
Who are also creating. You know what I'm saying? It's energy.
It's infectious.
I mean, mm-hmm. it's an energy that goes around, and you just got to be around people who are creating, and it's just a good feeling. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Kind of like, you know, when you're in the studio or you're doing, like, I need to be around niggas who writing. Like, or
iron sharpens iron. Like, and when you just surround people in other creative spaces, you start bouncing off ideas, you listen to ideas, you listen to how other people are putting things together, and it kind of changes. Sometimes it can help change your perspective or even your creative process. So I get it.
Let me ask y'all a question, because something came to me when we were talking about Love Jones, right? I told y'all about, when I'm young, 15, 16 years old, watching Love Jones, and I'm as an adult, I'm going back and I'm like, I must have thought that was cool. And that was in my subconscious that this is what young black folks do. There was the poetry is like the backdrop. Like every interaction is not in the poetry spot.
No, but you know
what I'm saying? Like, they in the crib, they talking, bouncing shit off each other. The whole thing. But I did notice that photography was in there,
mm-hmm.
and poetry. And I gravitated to photography. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, which also got me to thinking, like, music and movies and film, whatever, it does something to the brain. Music specifically activates portions of the brain that nothing else does, right? Well, it is what it is, right? You connect your brain on an encephalograph, and like, music activates and stimulates different parts, which is why it's so powerful, right? And images and things transfer. Like, how much of, and from the artist standpoint, because when you make your art, it's about stuff that happened in your life, right? Like, how much does the music and or the visions that we see, like, impact our actual life and who you're gonna be? And a lot of it, I think, is trapped like in our subconscious. You know what I'm saying? Like, you listen to certain music. I listen to certain music. And I think we lie to ourselves and be like, yo, that didn't really have no impact on me.
It does. It changes your energy. Like, perfect example. I pick up my kids and take them to school in the morning. You know, some days I wake up in a mood and I don't want to hear that loud ass shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear nigga first thing in the morning. But then some days I wake up and I'll be like, nigga, turn Bone Crusher on. Like, let's get the day started with some Never Scared.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it does put you in a different mind state and a different mood, like, literally for the day.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes I'll wake up and I'm like, man, I need to hear, you know, like, when I go to church, I'm not listening to, you know, some street shit on my way to church. Like, I'm listening to Kirk Franklin, maybe, you know, Yolanda Adams. I'm preparing my mind and my mood for what I'm about to receive.
I didn't understand that. My mama put me in my place, so to speak, around that. So, like, we went to church Sundays, the whole nine yards, right? A little more than that. But, like, once I got of age and I had my own car and I could drive to church myself, I didn't go to, like, I would arrive at, like, 12 o'clock. Because, like, that's when
I'm here for the preaching.
You know, the preaching about to start at 12. I get out there by 1 o'clock. Cool. And then she like, nah, you got to make it here for praise and worship. And I'm like, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know
it set the atmosphere.
And he's like, you got to listen to particular music and it opens you up to receive the message. Right. So when you about to go out on a date, like there's a certain type of music you listening to when you getting in the mood to go out with your lady. When you about to go out with your homegirls or your homeboys, there's a certain type of music that you listen to get you ready to receive a message.
If you bring her back to the house, is a certain type of music that you listen to
because
you want her to receive another message.
So, and this is not a shot at this particular artist. This is the person that we talk about. So what is the message that you are being equipped to receive when WAP is the broadcast, or if Fuck My Baby Daddy is the what is the music preparing to you to receive, if that's the music that you're playing?
So we just gonna smoothly interject here, speaking for the women.
Yes.
Coming from a perspective of high censorship and always being told what a woman is, how they should behave and what have you, I think that that just comes from like that radical aspect of this is my body. I can do what I want, and reclaiming those things. Like, yeah, these attributes just so happen to be true. It may be a WAP type of situation going on, but it's also the fact that like I can be as raunchy as I want with my body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could there also be some sexual trauma because of the things we experience? Yes. Absolutely. We're not going to disagree with that. But the thing is, there are other people who live out this reality, or other people who find their femininity and expression in their sexuality. And it is, it's definitely a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
It is something where like you'll see somebody from one point grow to another point. It's damn near hard to find a 50-year-old hoe. They out here, but they don't. I'm just saying.
Is it hard to find, or is it just not as advertised?
They put it away. They put it up a little bit better.
Well, I don't think the hell ever goes away.
I don't run into. Listen, I ain't met nasty Miss Gertrude, so I don't know.
Well, let me tell you something. I met nasty Miss Gertrude and a few of her freaky friends.
Oh my god.
The same can be said with. This was really,
I can smell an old hoe.
Me and Pete,
I can smell
old hoe.
Me and Pete was talking. We was at some club and shit, and Geeked Up came on, and everybody like, I'm geeked up. I shoot a nigga dead in this bitch right now. And we like looked around, and like everybody is in the trance. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know how like we got out of it, and we just looked around.
Who cloned Tyrone?
Yeah.
For sure. Like, what is that particular music? What is the message? Because, like, the message is very clear.
It's the drums.
Because, okay. We're going to go back to the woods, right?
Yeah.
Back to the tribal shit. There was a time where there was a different understanding of what music did to the body. So I do feel like there are certain frequencies that we tap into and we play around with, and we don't necessarily know what we're evoking. But when you put rage or, like, that rambunctious energy into the song, that is what comes out. Like you said, bone crusher. Oh yeah, I can kill shit today. Like, absolutely, because that's the energy that he put into it. So maybe it's unlocking something, maybe we on a different frequency, but I do agree.
Because I mean, we've had this conversation, like when we think about all the quote-unquote black hood films that came out, all the gangster films that came out with like in a four-year period from 1991 through 1995, like all of them back to back to back, from Menace Society, from Boys in the Hood, from Colors, Menace Society, Boys in the Hood, New Jack City,
Juice,
like all them shits came out within in a very small amount of time, and then which evokes an emotion or whatever, and then I take this soundtrack that carries this same emotion, take this shit home with you. And now you live and you roll with this shit. We started having gangs, and it's like Detroit didn't have gangs, right? And then this period come around, and then niggas is gangbanging. Like, fam, we didn't have gangs. Now we got certified Bloods and Crips and all other shit. Like, fam, this shit didn't exist before 1995.
Now, niggas just represent, like, you just repped your hood.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the Dexter Crips. And it was just like, Dexter Boys.
To your point, all this shit is vibration. Right. All the music, colors, vibration is sound. I won't tell you who said that. But like, all this shit is vibration.
Said it. I know.
All this shit is vibration, and things vibrate at different frequencies and medians and shit. It's like, I don't know. We know what we really doing with this shit.
But we learning.
Some are learning, and some have learned that I know what I can do with it. I know I can manipulate an entire.
DJs do it all the time. And nigga, you know, when you hear that first beat from Spaceships on Bankhead,
yeah,
you know what time it is. You geeked up as soon as you hear it. before Fable, but them 2-3 seconds before Fable voice even come on, nigga, your shoulders get loose. It's something in your body that just start unlocking.
I was listening.
I want to be geeked up. Help me. Help me.
You know who PBD is? Patrick Beverly David.
No.
Patrick David Beverly. I was having a philosophical debate with Roland Martin. They on two different sides. He was like, man, once you become into, say, sales or whatever, you got the ability to change somebody's opinion, right? Like, you have the ability to basically control emotions. And some people can, and you can use that basically for good,
yeah,
or for evil. Like, as a poet, you 100% have control of that crowd when you got that microphone. You can take them on whatever journey you want.
Yeah.
While we up here talking our stuff, like, I already know, like, we can sway an opinion on something. We can open up somebody's eyes to something. If you a DJ, you 100% are controlling the emotions of 200 people in there with the songs that I played, what I played back to back. You can make a club fight.
Oh, for sure. Like, I've seen it. Sure. I've seen it.
Wait, yeah. He a DJ.
So I remember back in the day.
And you can calm one down. If a fight break out.
They throw the gospel on.
Yeah. They do. They do.
They throw the gospel on. Throw some Kirk Franklin. Just not stomp. Because
stomp?
But I remember being in St. Andrews one time. Shout out to my nigga Mo Dirty. Me and Dirt was in St. Andrews one time. Royce used to roll with this big ass bodyguard they call House.
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker was huge.
House?
Yeah, he was
big as a house.
A mountain of a man. And I remember they played like Lil Jon, Throw Your Hood Up, Bone Crusher, and then they played 24s, like all three in a row. By the time it got to 24s, niggas is looking around and they hate everybody in the room. And I remember Royce and his people coming through, and he bumped somebody I knew hard as fuck. And the house nigga like turned back around, like, "Is this what you know? This ain't the party you want." But but like after them three songs played in a row, like niggas was throwing chairs. They was fighting. They was you know.
What's up with that? Why do I thought it was like a Boondocks thing? But like y'all got some years on me. Y'all ever seen a nigga aside from this story? You ever seen another nigga throw a chair?
Absolutely.
What causes somebody to throw a chair?
Because it's very excessive. It's lightweight, but it does damage. You know, you can pick a bar stool is relative. You pick it up with two hands, you can swoop it up off the ground really quick, inside, and it's going to do real quick damage.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a foldable chair.
Foldable
chair for sure.
Unfortunately, inside of a club, I seen a nigga get beat to death with one of them stools.
Oh, my Atlanta.
Yeah, it was a lot of blood.
Yeah.
And I was stuck in the corner. Couldn't even move.
I lied. I used to work for a juvenile facility. I actually seen a kid get slapped in the face with a plastic chair. Messed me up.
You probably seen a lot worse working in the juvenile facility.
That was an experience.
Whole thing is, like, niggas be scared to fight. And, like, I don't know that I can beat you 101, so I'm going to pick up a weapon. And the only thing that's available in a club or a bar is a chair. I could do maximum damage.
You might grab a bottle. Yeah. But you're going to for sure kill a nigga with a bottle.
And or hurt, like, if it's a Remy bottle, a nigga.
But like a Corona bottle, like, though.
No, because when you said bottle, I instantly saw Henny.
Yeah, Hennessy bottle. I'd be looking. 1738 bottles is the one that I'd be scared of.
That's a clinker.
It's like a baseball bat.
A Remy VSOP, that motherfucker.
It's heavy. Whoop. Yeah, heavy shit. Yeah, but
it's night night.
Yeah, and battery, huh?
But it could be murder depending on where you hit how they hit the ground.
See a video of Vince Young getting knocked out. Yeah,
yeah,
that shit was interesting.
I mean, it's just a bar fight. I mean, wasn't even a bar fight. There's a lot of pushing and shoving.
He wasn't even looking.
Nah, he caught him clean under the chin.
Like I wasn't even, you know what I'm saying? And that was the owner of the bar.
But I feel like it was fair. They didn't stomp him out. You know, they ain't like inflict extra damage. Nigga caught one on the chin. You know, he went night-night.
I ain't like that, though. I don't like a white man knocking a black man out off top.
I feel you.
That's just
it's
looking
racist.
At that shit.
It's racist.
That shit is racist, and I'm black, so you can't tell me it's not.
Now I got to come back and shoot this bitch up.
It's racist.
Because it is. It is. This.
I don't even know what happened.
I try not to be too racist, but like there's certain shit I just not gonna
be racist.
You can't.
You, like, being the person of a marginalized group, you cannot be racist. You can be prejudiced to a degree, but you cannot be racist.
You know, I'm a little bit of both, depending on the day of the week. And there's certain shit that I'm not going for. I don't want no white man knocking out no black man.
Yeah, I don't want to see it either.
And I don't want no white man. I ain't gonna go there, man.
Yeah, we don't get too wild.
Pineapples?
Yeah. that's a good one.
It's something I feel a way about, but I ain't even gonna go there. Not today.
So, you know, this week in the news.
Geeked up.
There's a lot of shit going on in Miami and LA this week.
Man, that nigga Diddy going to jail, dog.
And Baltimore. You know, the bridge went bloop, disappeared in the water.
Man. Didn't just disappear. A boat hit it first.
Yeah, the boat hit it.
And then that bitch crumbled.
So that's the first thing I woke up to when I jumped on Twitter. And first thing a lot of people thought about, I don't know if y'all watched The Wire.
Yeah.
Was Sabaka. And he used that.
He used to sit by the dock and watch the bridge.
And he was like, it was the one who like, you see that bridge right there? Like, basically like, that's as steady as the wind blow. Like, that shit is never going nowhere. And then everybody had like posted that with the little clip.
Yeah.
Because whenever I kept posting, I'm thinking like, yo, did he pass? I thought the actor passed. But it didn't click with me until like 3 o'clock, and I went and like looked at the video. Like, the cars that were on the bridge fell in the water. Like, people.
And they were trying to say only 7 people were missing. They said it wasn't nobody on the bridge, and only 7 people were missing.
They said that the bridge operators had shut down both sides. So, like, they had stopped a lot of traffic coming in and going off of the bridge.
Why?
Before the boat hit.
But, like, why? Why would they just stop traffic?
So more people wouldn't die on the bridge?
No, what I'm saying is, so they knew the boat was going to hit it?
Yeah.
Oh. What?
If you watch the, so I'll be honest, I woke up pretty early and I started seeing it. If you watch the whole video, you can see like it go from like cars back and forth to like just a few cars going back and forth. So apparently there's a toll, or, you know, one of the things that let the arm down on each side of the bridge. So they stopped a lot of the traffic coming in, and there's been recording that's been released where like the people, yes, on the boat are like, mayday, mayday. Oh. Like, we're about to hit.
It was like a ferry type of boat?
No, it was like carrying cargo, shipping containers. So like it hit the support beam and that bitch just went instantly in the water. And it didn't click on me when I saw that the bridge came down. I didn't see that a boat hit it. I'm thinking like, oh, they just blew the bridge up or some
really
shit.
See
like
the boat in there. I just thought it went down.
But then I watched the video and like,
you can see the boat hit the bridge.
If this the truss, the boat is coming like this, and it just didn't have enough room to clear, and it was like boom, and it just run that shit down. But now I'm thinking like there's a rescue team, because like people who were in cars, the cars are in the fucking river, and I'm like, man, that's, oh man,
I wouldn't be able to get out.
That's why I carry this knife with me. You know what I'm saying? With this little thing right here that I can bust the window. I just didn't, like, I'm not driving by the water.
And then you gonna do? Like, nigga, you gonna try and fight the current?
Yes, I'm gonna try to fight for my life, my nigga.
I'm saying,
you want me to just breathe water?
Yes, you gonna try and fight, but like, nigga, the current is like strong.
I'm gonna be stronger. I got a will to survive. Like, I'm gonna attempt. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no other option.
Not for,
the current.
Like you said, your body is going to do what it's going to do. Like, my first, like, nigga, I'm trying to stay alive as long as I can.
Now, granted, the current probably going to take me 5-6 miles. I'm just trying to get my head above water. And then the water can take me whatever the fuck but hopefully it don't.
Let's just get up.
You
Yeah. Man, that's. And it was dark, so you can't see. It's already underwater, so you can't see shit. And it's dark, you can't see shit.
I had so many thoughts when I first saw the video. I was like, nigga, is it a terrorist attack? Is, because that's where immediately my mind went to, like, nigga, this is, they starting.
Talking about they coming by water.
Yeah, like, I didn't know.
Somebody if Somebody going to prison.
Oh, for sure. A lot of people going to prison.
Yeah.
A lot of people going to prison.
Granted, this
did the people from the boat survive?
Yeah, the boat good. I think a couple of the shipping containers fell in the water.
Yeah, but for the most part, everybody on the boat, there were no casualties there. All the casualties came from like the bridge.
Like, somebody gonna go to prison because we need to blame somebody. Somebody needs to blame so the world can feel at peace. But like, clearly there was an error somewhere, and we off course because we didn't make it underneath the
Yeah.
The little passageway or whatever.
And we knew he was off course for a minute because they called.
But that shit big as fuck, though. It's like when the Titanic knew, like, oh, we gonna hit this iceberg.
Oh, we talking about the...
Like, that shit...
It's a big boat with shipping containers.
Big old, okay. That's why you don't do drugs before you do an interview.
No, you should do... What type of drugs that you all do?
I just smoke weed, you know?
What kind?
I got some sativa, and then I got a hybrid today. I went to Jars today.
Okay.
I usually go to Leaf and Bub. That lady was trying to tell me $112 for an ounce. I turned around, and I left.
No, not with how prices is today. I ain't got to pay that.
Okay. I come here any other day, and I get a $10 if you want to look me square in my face with your glasses on and tell me $25, I will not.
So this how big the boat was, and it knocked.
That's one of the boat.
Yeah, and that's just probably like before it hit. So that is big. It got fucking massive size, and all them damn shipping containers probably coming from China or somewhere and shit.
Hey,
it hit one of them trusts, and then it just there you go. That's crazy.
Oh my land. Yeah, I had to call my dad to make sure he was okay. He's out in the DMV area, but he's not over on that side.
Yeah, that shit crazy. I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know if it was a terrorist attack or if it was like, because you just don't see bridges fall.
Yeah. Unless they like we getting rid of the bridge.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, they just getting rid of this bridge. They gonna build another one. I mean it's 5 o'clock in the morning and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm just
Because how would one go about taking apart a bridge?
I don't know. We're going to see how one gets rebuilt sooner than later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened with Diddy? His house got raided, but it was so that they could get the other people's stuff out?
Diddy has been named in a few lawsuits.
Deviant sexual behavior.
The most recent. Heinous. I went through the whole lawsuit, and he got pictures and video and like a lot of evidence or supposed evidence or whatnot. And long story short, they say Diddy has been like the hip hop Jeffrey Epstein. And basically in this particular, all alleged, right? In this particular industry, everybody knows about these Diddy parties. And my whole entire house is.
You got to tell the nigga no.
Is videotaped and audio taped. So once you get to these parties, you're doing the illicit drugs, having sex with underage people, men and women, all this weird shit. And once I got you on tape, now I own you. And it's basically a blackmail ring, allegedly, right? And I've been doing this shit for 30 years. That's the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing. Niggas that go to Jeff Epstein Island, all these different people. You doing drugs, you having sex with different people and different underage people, sex traffickers, the whole nine yards. And when I have that information on you, now I own you.
Nickelodeon too.
Yeah. So like once I own you,
crazy too.
Man.
How I get things done is like, yo, I need this bill passed or I'm putting this video out. Oh, you want to do this? Well, you need to do this. Like
the bill passing.
Yeah. So like everybody that was fucking with, this is not Diddy. On Jeffrey Epstein, like, you think you're going over there on some humanitarian shit. I'm like, get to have a drink. And now, next thing you know, you got a midget on you. You got whatever the case may be. But same shit that J. Edgar Hoover been doing for how he established with the FBI. Mm-hmm. It's just a blackmail ring. And that's how we maneuver. Sexual trauma. I got pictures of you. I got this, and now you gonna do what I want you to do. Cause why wouldn't you?
America is so ghetto, just so raunchy.
Yeah,
America is like the equivalent to a lady standing on the side with the fishnet leg out and the taxi cab coming up.
Man, humans.
It's like what happened here goes everywhere else.
Like you said, there used to be a point in time where shit was more censored. Some shit you just. You know, we ain't talk about. We kept in the house. There was shame. Now there's none of that shit. Like, everything is cool. You know, let's go to sex parties and do a little coke out the butthole and, you know, have a good time.
Oh, my gosh.
Have sex with strangers.
Now. Everybody wants to have multiple kids and multiple women and things. Have as many kids as you want.
I can tell you from experience, it's not fun.
I can tell you as a kid, it don't work. It don't work. I got 17 siblings.
17.
Uh-huh.
Now, you had a friend who is not from the West.
Yeah, now my partner, my homeboy Bam, his pops is from Nigeria. My dog Bam is one of 27 kids. You know, he said pops grew up, he had 9 wives. But the thing about it, like, all these women weren't necessarily living, like, they were living in the same area, but not necessarily all in the same house. Mm-hmm. And he said as he got older, he saw that different wives had different responsibilities. Some of them taught the kids. There were certain wives that, like, you know, did all the shopping and making sure that all the houses had what he needed. There were a couple that, you know, cook real well, so they would prepare all the meals. Mm-hmm. And then he had, like, his 2 or 3, like, these the ones I'm sweet on, and, you know, these my main,
because
my main ladies.
It's a cultural thing.
And not every woman that is your wife is necessarily your romantic partner. And that's the misconception that a lot of Americanized men make, is they assume that because you have all of these women that you now have a harem. No, there's a difference. You are not a pimp here. And also, you have to be financially responsible and accountable for all of these people. Now, in some Western cultures, women get married in because they were not feasible for marriage, or because their husband died or something. So that man would be like, okay, well, your sister can come and live with us and I'll take on her children, XYZ, so that she is not, what's the word, ostracized.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that now you and your sister both got to sleep with me. That just means that her and her kids will be down the street and I'll take care of y'all, and y'all are under my last name. That's what Americanized men don't understand.
And I can't go down the street and just, you know.
No, you cannot.
Hit it.
No.
Marriage don't twice equal love.
Irritating.
Twice a month.
You know.
Sick.
Just a little pump and dump.
Sick.
Yeah. You know, I hate Diddy though. I don't like Diddy. Never liked him. So I'm glad people are waking up and seeing he been a whole ass nigga for a long time. And if he was white, he would 100% be a culture vulture. The only reason he gets a pass is because he's black. There is no.
Have they found him yet?
I saw a video with him in Miami.
Apparently, he is out of the country.
Oh.
Well, his jet went a couple places, and then it was out of the country, and he wasn't necessarily in the jet. So, they don't know where the nigga at. He's going to be in Bali with Russell, probably.
I mean,
that'll make sense.
Wherever he at, they probably can't extradite him back to the U.S. I mean.
All we got to do is turn your money off, though.
I mean, but even then, he's been in the game for how long?
Maybe I got a couple got offshore accounts. Yeah. I'm all right.
Yeah. What?
Fuck them kids. They be
and
all
then
right.
If it's if things are the way that they are, he may have a whole different operation of sorts.
If things are the way that they are, you going down, my nigga. Because you're not the top of the food chain.
Hold on. Because what's his name? Andrew Tate went and got caught up with those women in Romania for sex trafficking. And then he was chilling. Like, what was it? Not even a month later?
Well, he was he just got arrested again. But he was over in Romania held without any kind of charges for like 90 days. And then they finally let him go. And what's interesting is the women that had
allegedly
did something with, all of them did interviews like, nah, that's my nigga. He ain't do shit to me. Everything's all good. And like the one it's some weird shit going on with that. It's some weird shit going on with that. I'll just say that. It's some weird shit going on. I went down that rabbit hole and it was very interesting. And then I just thought about, like, I don't think I care this much. And I stopped caring. But it is some shit in the game with that.
It's too many things and too many rabbit holes. And honestly, the best thing of advice that I can give to any of the women that, like, I come into contact with is it don't really matter. Be as unagreeable as you possibly can. And you can be as sweet as you possibly can. You can say no with a smile on your face. Or if you got to cut somebody the fuck out, do what you need to do and continue to be yourself. But, like, to disrupt your energy or try to, like, be palatable for people to accept you, no. If you got talent, it might come a little bit slower than the person that's sucking dick, but I promise you, in a minute, her vocal's going to be fucked up.
Male and female.
Hey.
Because that shit go for both, because it's the lawsuit is from a man.
Yeah.
Who said Diddy was grabbing in his anus. Now, what part
He,
you know what I'm saying? And he
the anus!
And offered him different, offered him artist of the year if he has sex with this person, showed him videos of his favorite producer having sex with other men. Like, yo, nigga, this is
normal. Yeah, it was something like a couple months back or a year or so, Diddy actually had video of Cassie in compromising positions. Yeah.
Because he record every, because he fucking, listen, there has not been a person who got with Diddy and then was better afterwards. That's just don't. That's
like, nobody walks away unscathed.
Nobody.
Unfortunately.
When we say, like, the whose man's this, like, who's Diddy's man's? Who you know is friends with him? Like, who been down with him?
I don't know. He got.
Even Usher. Usher put some stuff in his new song. He was real subtle with it.
Well, Usher used to live with the nigga for 10 years when he was 10 years old.
Well, Sauce Camp, Flavor Camp.
He adopted, he was Usher's legal guardian when he was a child. And they used to wake up together and play and fight in the same bed over cereal.
Was he grooming Usher?
Was he grooming Usher?
Y'all niggas know Usher. Whatever.
I don't.
Like, cut it out.
All right, man.
Like, Justin Bieber got brand new management.
Yeah, I mean.
It was a minute, but he did.
All I'm just saying is, like, We got this theory here. When niggas keep saying you the same thing for years and years and years, like, come on, motherfucker. Like,
quack, quack.
Eventually, like, yo, like, I gotta believe something. Niggas call R. Kelly a child molester for years.
For years.
For years.
Years.
And it just became like a running joke after a while. Like, but like, nigga, that shit.
I saw the tape.
That's not funny.
No, it's not funny, but I mean, like, the story that carried around him.
No, like, became, I'm saying, like, the a amount joke of time.
Yeah, and now the same shit with Diddy. We've been hearing about these gay ass parties for a long, long time. And now, like, nigga.
Besides the parties, like, Little Rod in the I don't know if we talked about this portion on this pod before, but this shit gets fucking strange. Okay. So Little Rod said they had a fucking in the studio and shit, and him and his son, him and the light skinned nigga.
Oh, Quincy?
Yeah. No. Him and Justin going to the bathroom with another producer. Nigga gets shot, right? He walks in there, blood everywhere. Somebody's in the fetal position and shit. They call the fixer, whose name is Fahim Muhammad. Right, they call the fixer and they like, yo, this is the guy that you call. He like fucking Ray Donovan or somebody, right? And then all the media outlets says, and it's, there's pictures of the blood all over the bathroom, right? In the lawsuit.
When was this?
Whatever. This was last year because he was working on the Love album. This is the album that he was working on.
Okay.
So it's pictures.
Ain't no love when niggas getting shot in the bathroom.
Blood all over the motherfucking the bathroom and shit. The pictures or whatever that I've seen inside of the official documents that were placed online for the whole lawsuit. Everybody addressed, name address, the whole nine yards. I know where Puffy son lives at. Anywho, so the media reports that there was a drive-by and somebody was shot outside of a studio. Well, because they picked his ass up and drug his body over here, right? So the head of his security is Fahim Muhammad. This one gets really weird. Fahim Muhammad?
I thought you said Fahim was the fixer.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's also head of security.
Yeah, he's Diddy's head of security.
Okay.
And they say, yo, call this guy if you're in Miami or LA. This the real fucking kicker. One of the real kickers. When Michael Jackson died, guess who was the first person on the scene?
Fahim?
Yes. It was Michael Jackson, the doctor who gave him the medicine, and Fahim. Now, how old was Fahim at the time? 21 years old. How the fuck does a 21-year-old get to be the head of security for Michael Jackson?
Oh man, this.
So on his,
I hate when you do shit like this.
On Fahim's website and everything, he says he's a real estate person and this and that. He went to a particular college that has nothing to do with security or whatever. However, in 2022, when he was 22 years old, he gives a speech at essentially the CIA graduating class. Now, why the fuck was some young kid who is a real estate broker and everything be given a fucking commencement speech to the graduating CIA class?
What if he's Mossad?
Bingo, because that was what was connected to him.
Mossad?
Yes.
Wow. I was just playing.
Because then he was like, well, who is funding? This is all alleged.
Hey.
Right. So they're like, well, when Puffy got fired by Andre Harrell and Uptown Records, he popped up with Bad Boy Records funded by Clive Davis. Well, who was Clive Davis? It's so many people that's attached to this lawsuit. Like, what's the white nigga that be on TikTok doing all the investigations and shit? White dude, mustache, kind of like a little mullet and shit. He goes down like the rabbit hole with a lot of shit and bring out official court documents and shit like that. There's some interesting things that get connected. Like, this shit is bigger than Eno fucking Brown.
I mean, when they eventually catch up with Diddy, if he doesn't kill himself or pop up dead, he'll go to jail.
I'm dead. He definitely, yeah. I don't see him as a fighter.
I don't see him killing himself, though. I feel like he has I don't know if that's an alleged thing. In my opinion, his type of grandiose ideologies, it don't give me end at all.
You got this. Homeland Security came to your crib, my nigga. It's not like LAPD. So you got this whole shit going on, right? And all the documents and whatever with that one. You got the Cassie shit that everybody saw that shit and went through all those documents. Then you also got the Tupac shit because Keefe D in prison specifically for saying you hired them to do it. So if they done put me in jail and charged me with the death of him and I've been telling all y'all this is why I did it, or he was a driver or whatever. Like, fam, you can't put me in jail for what I said if you don't use what I said.
Especially to go get ain't somebody. Got the money.
Yeah, it's way too much shit going on, my nigga. Go ahead. Just do us a favor.
Okay.
That's it.
I ain't got nothing else for that one.
Yeah. I don't like the nigga. I'm biased.
No, see, now I'm going to go down the rabbit hole because I've been Jaguar writing myself to death.
Yeah, and a lot of shit she said ended up coming being true, which is crazy.
At this point, I just take everything she says as word. I'm not going to lie.
I see the internet rumbling like, Jay-Z the next one.
Hey.
Reggie Wright was like, he ain't the only one that was messing with young girls in the 90s, but I don't got that information. That's what Reggie Wright said. Well, Reggie Wright been on point. He said about a year before that Keefe D was going to get arrested for this shit. He said last year in like November that they was going to raid Puffy shit and he was going to get arrested. He said it like he's in November, December, and February. He was like, I don't know what's taking so long, but you know what Reggie Wright is?
Yeah.
Like,
But when the Fed, I've seen people deal with Fed cases. When the Feds come, like, they take their time. They build the case. And then they come get you.
Now, some may say that Homeland Security came in out there to take away some information so, like, people above him don't get involved in this shit.
Maybe.
Like, because you're going to be the fall guy.
Little off-brand niggas ain't hard when that Patriot Act come hit your ass with them terrorist charges.
But then also, it's harder to find exclusive like-minded spaces, if you get what I'm saying. So maybe everybody got to pay to play the same game.
And apparently he loved to tape everything. Like the little Rod nigga said, I got hundreds of hours of video that he made me record on my phone.
I mean, taping is fun. I like to tape.
All right. Well, stop. You shouldn't tape illegal activities, my nigga.
Not illegal activities, but, you know, when I get with something I enjoy. Let's put this right here.
Oh, my God.
Okay. We're ready.
Well, we'll see.
We're ready.
We'll see what comes
not
out.
Not the action.
We'll see what comes out about it. You feel me? It is what it is. You got a music pick. You said your music pick was.
Yeah, I got two music picks that I'm going with. The first one is K-Bae. K-A-Y-B-A-E. The name of the song is Apply Pressure off her project Westside Gemini. And then my second one is from Trill World. It's Trill like real.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she said it. Trill World. Yeah. Mocha Sin. That shit is a banger.
For sure.
That shit is like, that shit is a bang. I wish you love. I wish you peace. I wish you everything you didn't know you need. Like, dog, I've been listening to that song all weekend. Like, it's incredible.
Yes. Soul music.
And she can fucking sing.
And it's incredibly produced.
Yeah.
And mixed. Like it's a certified big record.
Yeah. I really hope I want to see everybody win, but like these young ladies have records. They got music.
Yeah.
And like, this shit is ready. It's ready. Some, it just need to land on the right desk. And maybe I can help facilitate that. We do.
Just need to land on the right ear. And, yeah. You know, a lot of people listen.
Oh, so I've been doing what you asked me, and I've been putting together a playlist of all my old music picks of the week. And I done threw in some little goodies there, too. Dame's Music Pick of the Week. I don't know how to publish and make it public for everybody to listen to. How to make my playlist for everybody to listen to.
What is it on?
Apple.
Hey, Jordy.
I mean, this is Dame, though. Like, it's a very...
a shareable way that he can...
Yeah, you just hit, like, copy access. Link and then just drop it in the show notes.
Oh! Is that simple?
It's that simple, my nigga.
All right, I send it to you.
Yeah. Like...
I send it to you because I've been curating, my nigga.
Is it only the music pick?
No, I got a couple, like, other little...
But it need to be only the music pick. No, I mean, you can do whatever the fuck you want with your own playlist, but... We said we was going to put the playlist so that, because we can't really play music on the pod no more because it should be licensed. You know what I'm saying? So if we can drop it on the playlist, the link to the playlist is there. So when we say, hey, music pick, there, that's where it's going to be.
Boop, boop.
I'll send you the playlist. And, you know, all of our friends has been up here, Baby Mark, Dave Hill, Pete start off the playlist because Live from Detroit is, you know, what has... Bought is here.
Nick Varsity. I mean,
Nick Varsity. Everybody,
it's been so many.
And artists. I got just such a good fucking ear for music, dog. I should be an A&R or something. Somebody give me a check.
It's the.
Somebody give me a check.
I be thinking I got a good ear too. I ain't gonna lie.
Shout out to those we didn't fuck with.
But you
some of them music picks of the week. You ain't never listened to them songs again.
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. I stand by my shit.
I know what this nigga be capping.
I stand on my shit, nigga. I stand on business.
Like, what you know a nigga for so long?
I stand on business.
Oh, my God.
What you know a nigga for so long? You know what a nigga be capping this shit.
How long y'all known each other?
Like 20 some odd years.
Since high school.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Y'all like
I've been out of high school for 24 years.
Now, we
y'all look good. Y'all got great skin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I use very expensive moisturizer and products. Me and Jay.
Just soap and water.
I know I have to do differently because I'm light skinned and we just don't age well. I don't have a lot of melanin in my system and I haven't secured a wife yet. Like, I need to look, look. Look, I
technically did secure a wife before.
I know, but I tossed that one back. The first marriage don't count. That's just like a practice run. I'm looking for my forever boot.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to start a home, you had to start a wife.
She got me through like the first 10 years. I mean, that, you know, helped me get on my feet. And now that I'm grown.
Men.
No, Dame. Dame. Men. It's Dame.
Oh, where is the bar when you need it? Inhale?
I'm not going to shit on her. I loved her at one point. We cool.
So my personal opinion, I think anybody that you ever love, you still love them. I think that's how love, I don't think you, now I don't mean you want to be with them and like the love changes. Like, I think I love every person that I ever loved. I don't.
Once I forget how your vagina feels, I also forgot that I love you.
Do you believe that love?
That
only
is so
exists?
Visceral.
Love.
Like, once I can't even remember how the sex feel no more. Like, we ain't in love no more.
I don't think that's
we ain't in love.
I don't think love has anything to do with sex.
It doesn't. Love is an action. Love is a choice. Love is a definitive choice. I can't stand this motherfucker.
Because
that's
love,
my man. I love this nigga.
You love people that you ain't never had sex with. Yes or no?
Yeah.
You love him. And it ain't no desire to do anything in that way. So what are we talking about when we say love? Let's not be visceral. Let's be platonic.
But like in real life, you love people that you never had sex with.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, look, when
you love people that you're not even friends with no more.
I do. Like, but when it comes to,
what's the difference?
We used to have sex, and I would ejaculate inside of her. Now that we no longer have sex, nor do I let my love potion flow through her walls. That's poetry, nigga. That's motherfucking poetry.
I would hate to disagree because Caesar believes that anything can be poetry, but that was word that you just spoke.
So, are you one of those people who think all art is good?
No.
Okay. I set that question up so horrible because, like, I
I feel like I like to say perspective is a hell of a drug, or perception is a hell of a drug.
A lot of niggas like to lie hard behind all this art. Nigga, that art is trash. That opinion that you have is trash. And you cannot say, it's my art. Fuck that shit. I feel like
in order for something to be art, it has to be evocative. It has to... It, in my opinion, it has to have a polarizing perspective. Perspective. Either everybody loves it or hates it. Or even if everybody's confused about it in the middle. I want a definitive something.
See, that's the type of art I be liking. Where, like, you go see some shit and niggas don't know what to feel when they leave out of there.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like, yo, that was weird.
Yeah, but it's new. It's new. But for you to put spray paint and glitter on a garbage can and be like, that's art. No. That's what you could afford.
Taping that banana to the wall at Art Basel and be like, this is my installation. Nigga, that's a banana taped to a fucking
wall. Yeah, I hate when people try to make things ironic and call it art. No, you're just trying to exploit people for their money.
Which is an art form.
that's art.
That's a different type of art form. Right? I'm trying to get into that field.
Niggas be throwing the art on everything and shit. All right, whose man's is this week? All right, whose man's is this? Benzino, we don't care.
I don't even know what happened.
We don't care, my nigga. There is nothing. Like, Benzino comes to Detroit and shoots a music video in front of Mom's Spaghetti. I don't know where Mom's Spaghetti's at. You get no cool points for going to downtown Detroit in an all-white neighborhood. And he took, like, the little A sign, A pillar sign that was outside. Like, you think this is the same as, like, pulling up on O Block or some shit like that? Or, like, pulling up in the fucking... Like, stop it, nigga.
Nobody that's going to come and get you.
I know this is your segment, but I have really felt a way about it when I first saw it. Like, oh, this nigga disrespecting the city. Nah, this nigga's really in the safest place you can be at in Detroit, which is downtown.
Yeah.
But nobody cares. No one...
Niggas is not lined up outside of Mom's Spaghetti. It's not the spot. It's not where you're going to run into.
Let's just say everybody goes to Mom's Spaghetti. No one cares that you don't like Eminem.
But Eminem already said his mama can't cook. So I don't understand.
Nobody likes Eminem. No one is scared of you. No one is scared of Eminem. Most niggas who are not in the age range where M came out don't care about Eminem. No one fucking cares. No one cares about your fucking music video or your diss song that you did not write.
I do like
nobody Eminem, cares.
Though. You like who?
I do like Eminem. I like a few songs. Like the Houston Shady song. You know, all the fun, comical Eminem stuff from my childhood.
Literally from your childhood.
Yeah.
Literally from your childhood.
Like, no one cares, dog. Like who are giving you? You was on Drink Champ talking shit about M, got drunk, and then you was crying like, I don't hate Eminem. I just want everybody to leave me alone. He's a great guy. He's a great artist. He just had people
talking about his neck.
Like, come on, man. Like, this no one cares.
Somebody put the battery in his back. And then, like, I saw a spark a little beef around the city with Dogface, Calderon, and Trick, a little back and forth. But I'm like you, dog. The equivalent of Benzino being in Detroit, dropping a song, getting a couple hours of studio time is the equivalent to a baby farting in the ocean. Like, it's a very small ripple and nobody is
also,
it's
like,
over with.
This is a formula that just doesn't work. Like, oh shit, let me go shoot a video in the person's hood.
I'm in your hood, nigga.
Like, what?
He's not there.
Well, he's definitely not downtown. Now, I could have, you know, maybe Benzino would have pulled up like on a real, you know, like on Joy Road or something.
And what
niggas
does that mean?
Going to Joy Road.
I mean, you know, that's.
And like, so, okay, that's, you know, my neighborhood. You, Benzino pulls up.
X over the sex, over the exit
Detroit,
9.
It's niggas in Detroit who fuck with, like, on a non-musical level. Like, he be here sometimes. Like, it's quote-unquote real niggas who fuck with him. Like, what does that mean, nigga? What's the all right, you was here. Now what?
You know, I hate to admit when you're right about something, but I will admit to this. Like, as I'm becoming older and grumpier, you know, like, you always talk about, like, this old man posturing or old man tough guy rap. And, like, for real, I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear tough tough guy posing from a nigga that's old as me. Like
when y'all
like my toughest days are behind me. Like I am a law-abiding citizen for the most part. You know, like, but like my tough days, my rebel rousing is in my rear view.
Rebel rousing.
Rear view mirror.
When we was talking about like music and shit and like being in the mood for certain, like, listen, man, I'm not trying to hear a song about me getting shot in the chest and a nigga fucking my bitch before 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm just not into it.
We say that as Remy Ma releases a song, what is it called? Eater
nobody, or something? Nobody cares about Remy Ma.
It's all the things about her new body and her new man, and he got a set. It's just so much. And it's like, lady. Yeah.
I would like Remy Martin to stop also.
Reminisce.
She cheated on Papoose with her worker.
That's fine. People get cheated.
And like, then Geechee Gotti exposed him.
Infidelity is not really that big of a deal to me. And I mean, it happens.
I was wondering what happened with that, though. Because she was just at his birthday party and shit. Like, he knocked the nigga out at the event. I don't know what happened, but like, Pap knocked.
Oh, yeah. They had NDAs all up through there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, anywho, that shit is just.
I mean, it's just.
No one's listened to a new Remy Ma song.
Not even interested. You
also fucked everything up. Y'all was like, yeah. Black. Well, like nigga, you fucked it up.
You did. Like you did. Like he did all of the things. Like every single thing that I just want a woman to just hold me down. And you went to jail. You had kids. You had cases and
just
all that.
Just more proof you can't satisfy a woman. Don't even try, fellas. Don't even try. They don't appreciate it. Don't even try.
This is trolling. It's trolling.
I don't agree.
Don't even try. You know what? I know these two probably have very little correlation, but I remember somebody I used to date, you know, went on like a whole little Twitter rant about how much of a terrible nigga that I was. And
do you not agree that you were being a terrible nigga?
Just listen. Just hear me out. Was I a pillar of the love community?
Pillar?
No. Was I living up to being a dirtbag at various intervals through our dating? Of course. But I mean, if you didn't like it, you didn't have to deal with it. But at the end of the day, I always felt like, you know, she really thought that I dogged her out. But I was like, look, I haven't even scratched the surface on how bad that I could have been.
I would like to interject here and just say that anytime you have to pose it with a rhetorical question, you already know it's a problem. I just want to just, you know, leave you
this
with that.
Damn, he's just talking. He gets on this pod all the time and talks about how horrible of a nigga he is and how he's going to fix his life around and go to church and find this woman. Like, this is nothing. No,
this is nothing.
I do go to church, and I'm a dog. My wife coming. I feel it. God be trying to tell
God
me.
God, like, my nigga, stop using my name, dog. you been talking about this shit for 8 years on the pod. Like, you making me look bad.
If it makes you feel any better, I swear to Bob when I feel like God won't answer. I swear to Bob, man.
Okay, I haven't gone that far.
I'm just saying, you know, you might be able to get through to Bob.
So
you're praying to another God?
No. See, they're related. So I don't, you know, it's rude to swear to God, so I swear to Bob. Mm. Bob can take it.
I've already had confirmation. I've seen the vision. She coming.
So, in real life, though, you was a horrible nigga to that one girl.
Fuck her.
But that's not what I'm asking. Was you a horrible nigga?
Yeah.
So was the tweets that she said true or not?
Malicious.
Wait, question though.
I should have sued her just like I'm suing Name Tag.
Were you intentional with your maltreatment?
I just didn't give a fuck.
Like, okay.
Look, I know this is probably nasty of me to say, but it's just the truth. Some people are just bridges to the next thing. Like, I'm not. Look,
think about it. Dan.
I need 3 or 4 months just to find my next thing. And you are, you know.
Dame, have you been the bridge to the next thing?
Oh, yeah. I'm a old hoe from long ago, my nigga. I done been a bridge for a lot of women. Like, I'm a good time, not a long time. Like,
Are the bridge that you speak of.
Yes, and sometimes women are the bridge that I speak of, but I'm a short-term lease. You know what I'm saying? You're going to turn – you're not trying to keep me. You're going to turn me in after 6 months. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm a lease situation for some women. I'd be feeling like a little layover or, like, you know, like a little way station till you get to where you're going or something. Like, I hear you. I'm going to give you some humanity there.
Yeah, sometimes I'm just – you know, we just – We just passing by. This like, look, I meet you, we catch a vibe. We gonna go out on a couple dates. We gonna have some fun. We gonna, you know, do some shit. And then like, you gonna look up. It's gonna be 4 months later. I've, you know, potentially ruined your credit and ruined your summer. And now you're gonna be on to the next thing.
All right. So now, those things I disagree with. The credit?
Buy me a new iPhone.
I'm just playing God's advocate right now, okay?
Buy me a new iPhone.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, don't speak that negativity.
Playing God's advocate, why would somebody hear that and be like, I want to make it? Because
that's the old me. That's the old me. God didn't touch my life, bro.
When?
I'm changed.
I'm scared.
I've been changed. I know I've been changed.
I can't.
All right, dog. That was my who's Dame is my who's man.
I'm your man's. I'm your man's. We came here together. We leaving together. And it's my boy. It's my boy.
You remind me of you.
Jay Johnson, that's my man's. If I ever need a reference, a character witness, call Jay Johnson. He know me.
This don't sound like you.
So, P, at the end of the show, we always give our guests. Why did I just go off like that, man? That
no was reason.
You probably should take that out, but we don't take shit out. So, I mean, I just got to live with it. P, at the end of the show, we always give our guests the opportunity to share their socials, where people can find them. They want to support you, support your art, pay for your art. Mm-hmm. Where can they go to?
Well, y'all can catch me on Instagram at P the Poet. That's P-T-H-A-P-O-E-T, because I'm from the East Side, so we raised A, dropped the E. So again, that's P the Poet, P-T-H-A-P-O-E-T. I do a lot of hosting things. I peddle pastries, and I model from time to time if anybody looking for something.
These cookies are amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, they really are. And I dropped this one on the floor, and it got like...
Tell me you won't eat it.
And it got some hair on it.
Just pull it off.
That's why you got another one?
Yeah.
You know, that's why you got two.
And if it wasn't hair on there...
You eat shit with hair on it all the time.
Stop it.
I like mine... I don't like
hair. You eat shit with hair on it all the time, nigga.
Not all. Not at all.
That's not what I heard.
Oh, see, it's because he don't know where that hair came from.
Neither does the other hair. No clue.
You ain't heard shit. At least you get to meet the owner a little bit.
Big facts.
That's mystery hair.
Yeah.
It's all a mystery. You wake up in the morning, it's all a mystery.
Dave. Yeah,
it's my man. It's your man Dave, 3_313 on TikTok and on IG, Wild Dame 313 on Twitter. Hey man, new episode of Dame After Dark coming soon. The playlist, we're gonna put it in the show notes. And yeah, man, just keep expecting big and better things from Shop Talk Podcast. When you see the motherfucking blue and the black, you know where your mama been at. It's Shop Talk Podcast. Bitch, book some time.
Shout out to P the Poet for coming through. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for the
P the pastries. Poet, it's been a pleasure.
Hey.
Pushing pastries.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Pushing P.
We stay pushing.
You feel me? Shout out to y'all down 414 weeks in a row. Don't disrespect me and talk. 415, right?
Nigga, yeah, you point your finger at me again. 415
weeks in a row. You know what I'm saying? When you see the blue and the black, you know where you at. Shop Talk Podcast Studio. Book some time. I'm not saying we the Rockefeller Podcast, but... we are Jay and Dame.
Hell yeah.
Peace.